In John's Gospel, the miracles of Jesus are called signs because they reveal the true character of God. As such, they remain within the mystery of God and cannot be brought under human control. The Holy Gospel for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, the sixth chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. "What's for supper, Dad?" I'm starting to hear that again. Now that my daughter is back home, starting her 3rd year of med school, doing those clinical rotations at Sanford and CHI here in Bismarck, I hear that again, and it's good. "What's for supper, Dad?" I'd like to unpack that a little bit. It's tougher for me now to answer that question. With our new menu options at home that no longer include a pasta component, my recipe to go-tos have been reduced. "What's for supper, Dad?" Well, I've had to step up my creativity a bit. Now, spiralized zucchini noodles are great if you jazz them up a little bit. I've even made roasted cauliflower using tahini, which is a Middle Eastern ingredient made from sesame seeds. I can now make a refreshing summer salad using Persian cucumbers, diced red tomatoes, and onion with a lime and mint dressing. But no matter what kind of meal I make, no matter how creative I try and get, all of my meals seem to have a common denominator. leftovers. What's for supper, Dad? I thought tonight maybe we'd just have leftovers. That answer is always met by silence. Now, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I shouldn't have put just in my answer. To just be serving leftovers doesn't seem to put them in their best light. It also doesn't help that I don't really know how to treat leftovers. I'll admit it. I put my leftovers in those throwaway plastic containers. Now, I know you all have them too, and I know you've all used them too. But somehow, when leftovers are put into those containers, they acquire the same magic as the word meatloaf. Somehow, those leftovers in those throwaway containers make it to the back of my refrigerator by themselves, as if even they are embarrassed to exist. And then I find them back there. I look at the container and I say, "What is this? What is this?" Today, we are very familiar with this gospel text, the feeding of the 5,000. Beyond the miracle of Jesus' actions in multiplying 5 barley loaves and 2 fish into more than enough to fully satisfy the hunger of thousands of people, there are all those leftovers, 12 baskets full. But Jesus approaches leftovers much differently than me. He uses intentionality. He told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." These fragments have value, and they're treated as such. They are gathered together and placed in baskets, not throwaway containers sealed up and in the back of the fridge, where they're out of sight and out of mind. No. They're baskets filled. Today, we see Jesus at work with his distribution network. Unlike Amazon.com, with you having to purchase Amazon Prime in order to get what you want in 2 days, Jesus is about the business of distributing grace 24/7. Jesus is starting something new today. And as he starts something new, as those things often go, he is greeted with doubt. There won't be enough. It won't work. It can't succeed. But Jesus is not detracted by doubt. "Make the people sit down." Now, there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Jesus knew what he was going to do. This morning, as I look at this familiar gospel, I came upon, for me, a new insight. I think there's much of Psalm 23 at work in our gospel this morning. a psalm that we are also very familiar with. What does the psalmist say? You make me lie down in green pastures. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There in that psalm was an abundance of grace overflowing. And today again, we see grace in abundance. In closing today, I'd like to make a suggestion for you and me, that we see ourselves as baskets. I think too often we see ourselves as a sealed up container. I need to keep what I have. But when we look at life that way, I wonder if there isn't a bit of staleness with that. To be a basket is to be open to opportunity. Trinity lives out today's gospel. Right outside those north doors is a little distribution network, our loaves and fishes ministry. Every day those doors are opened, and someone receives a bit of grace. And through your generosity, that distribution network remains strong as we live out our life as a basket, filled to overflowing with God's grace and then sent out into the world to let God's good gifts spill out so that all may be fed, so that all may have a taste of love. Thanks be to God. Amen.